Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. And before we get started with the program, I want to say a big thanks to everyone who supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this pledge drive. We had more than, 6,400 people making contributions. They totaled $835,000. We welcomed more than 1,600 new members to the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. And a lot of those contributors were listening to this particular program. So I was really pleased, and Jim and I are both really happy with the overall contributions, and certainly with those of you who contributed during this program. Special thanks to you. The money goes for all of the programs, but it's kind of nice to have a few votes for the 11 to 12:30 time slot. So we're getting right back down to business, and what a fun day we're going to have, because Sarah Rath is our first guest today, my first guest, and she has a new book out. She's from Spring Green. She's the author of Night Sisters. It's a novel focusing on spirit mediumship in Wisconsin. She's the author of the bestseller Star Lake Saloon and Housekeeping Cottages, and she has 4 volumes of poetry, 5 nonfiction books. She's been a guest on the program in the past for some of her earlier books, although not Star Lake Saloon and Housekeeping Cottages. It's out in paperback now, so maybe we'll get her back. Sarah, we'll get you back.
That'd be great.
We'll talk about that another time. But anyway, she will be participating in the Wisconsin Book Festival, and so I want to talk with her about that festival, too, and also, of course, talk with her about the book Night Sisters. I finished it a couple of weeks ago, I think now. And, you know, Sarah, I got to tell you, when I first heard what the book was about, I thought, mediums. I don't know that I'm going to like this book, but I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. What did you think mediums were, Larry?
Well, I thought, people who conjure up ghosts and talk, you know, I sort of had it, I think, right. But I was kind of looking at the book as though maybe it was going to be sort of a chick book.
Chick lit, yeah.
It's not that at all.
No, I hope not. I hope that it appeals to men as well as women. It's a very good book club book. My book club, as a matter of fact, is reading it for October, and they're meeting tonight. So there's a little book club meeting in the book where the heroine, Nell, brings a pair of coat hangers to. Did you remember that part? She sort of measures the energy field around the members of her book club with the coat hangers, and I think I might play that little game tonight on my book club members and see how they like it.
How did you get interested in this whole business? I know a little bit. Tell us about it.
You know, I've always been interested in things in this kind of area. Maybe you remember I did a drama for Wisconsin Public Television in the early 1980s called Anzanetta. And that dealt with a young girl who was trying to solve the mystery of her great aunt who had completely disappeared. It was the one and only drama that WHA Television ever produced, but it was sort of an experiment in doing that sort of thing. But it won several awards, and I watched it just recently, and you know, it wasn't all that bad. It was really pretty good. I was proud of that.
Well, and you should be proud of Night Sisters too.
I am. It began, the genesis of it didn't come from any one source. My daughter was living in Buffalo at one point in the 1990s, and she invited me to visit Lilydale with her because she knew I was interested in this kind of thing. And we went down there, and it
now,
was...
Now, Lilydale is...
Oh, I'm sorry. The Lilydale Assembly is a large spiritualist camp that was founded in the late 1800s. And it has little cottages built on tent platforms, and mediums reside in these during the season, and there'll be a sign in the window that says the medium is, and there's a separate sign that says in, if she's in, and you make an appointment to have a reading. And the reading is for the medium to get in touch with spirits on another level who want to give you a message, and it's generally something good. They don't report bad things, usually. And there are also other places in the Lilydale grounds like Inspiration Stump and Forest Temple, where people can gather and the mediums will wander through the crowd and deliver messages. Now, that also happens up at the Waniwok Spiritualist Camp here in Wisconsin, which mm-hmm. many people are not aware of.
Yeah, it's a small camp, but your camp in the book, which is, I'm always having trouble, the Wakanaga?
It's a combination of Waniwok and Cassadaga, which is where Lilydale is located. Yes, Wakanaga.
Your description of that is a little bit like the Wisconsin.
It's very much like the Wisconsin. Yeah, I took a few liberties. But yes, the camp in the book is very much like Waniwok.
Yeah, and the and we might as well, let's get into this a little bit, because Nell Grandin,
yes,
is the kind of the featured person in this book.
Yes, and there's a secret behind Nell Grandin's name. It's not going to be a secret if I tell you, but August Derleth was my mentor in writing, and he wrote a lot in this genre, and he also wrote a lot under the name Stephen Grandin.
Yes. So that's where Nell Grandin came.
That's where Grandin came from, yes.
And she's an interesting lady.
Nell is interesting, yes. She's kind of between what to do with her life and what to do with her life. And she's a writer. She does articles for a make-believe travel magazine. And she goes up to Waniwok to see what it's like, and she interviews the leading medium there, whose name is Grace Waverly, who is an elderly, very beautiful, very knowledgeable person and kind of a mystical person, who on the spur of the moment does a reading for Nell and tells Nell things that she's absolutely bewildered by this woman knowing about her, like the fact that she played the accordion as a child, or that she has a ring with the Lord's Prayer on it, like this one I'm wearing right now, as a matter of fact. A lot of this book came from my own experiences.
Yeah.
There are two parts to it. There's a part where Nell is growing up in Little Wolf, which is her mm-hmm. hometown,
yeah.
and then there's a part where she's a middle-aged woman, and trying to resolve a mysterious death that occurred during her childhood.
Well, it's a wonderful, it's a great kind of mystery, too.
Yes, it is a mystery,
You got a mystery in there, which is, I guess, one of the reasons I liked it. I was trying to figure out how it was going to end, and I didn't really figure it out, to be perfectly
honest. Good. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I hate books where I know the ending by the second chapter.
Well, now you're actually in the Wisconsin Book Festival. You're appearing with Christina Schwartz tomorrow night.
Tomorrow
night mm-hmm. from 7 to 8:30 at the Wisconsin studio at the Overture. Right.
That's right.
And Christina as well has fictional settings, but based on Wisconsin, and you do too.
Yes.
And
real places.
Sorry.
Yeah, I just finished reading her most recent novel, which is, I think, Too Long at the Fair. And a lot of that takes place in Madison. I also teach a class at The Clearing, which is called Writing Personal Fiction. And what I try to do with my students is encourage them to utilize personal experiences, to fictionalize them and use them in mm-hmm. in what they're writing, to learn to lie about what really happened, to bend it, to mold it, to add, to subtract, to make it seem real, to hold on to the kernel of reality, but to utilize it in different ways. And that can also be someone else's reality, someone else's experiences, an anecdote from the newspaper, whatever. And we have great fun. I just did a weekend workshop up at The Clearing 2 weeks ago, which was lots of fun.
What's so fun about it?
What's so fun about The Clearing?
What's so fun about The Clearing and
Door
teaching.
County in October is really pretty nice.
Yeah, it is. I'm just there myself.
Yeah. Usually my class is in summer or early fall. The Clearing is just a marvelous place because the food is wonderful. The setting is so relaxing, so serene and comfortable. And everybody there wants to learn. And
yeah,
they're very
that's
friendly.
The nice
There's
thing,
a great
isn't it?
Warmth. There's just, I mean, oatmeal for breakfast every day, comfort food. It's just splendid.
Well, it's a treat always to be able to teach a group who really want to learn. That's
right.
One of the nice things about teaching at the college level. I think most
yes.
of the students here
yep.
And I have a lot of respect for a grade school and even high school teachers, because they don't always get the kinds of committed people that you might get in your classes or I get in my classes.
Yes, with adults, you don't have to tell them to stop chewing gum or spitball thing, you know.
Sarah Rath, our guest today, author of Night Sisters. It's published by Terrace Books, right?
Mm-hmm. University of Wisconsin Press.
University of Wisconsin Press. So we're talking with her about her book. We're talking a little bit about writing, too. And we're talking about the Wisconsin Book Festival. And I hope you'll join in. Questions about any of those areas, you're certainly welcome. I haven't given the number yet, so why don't I do that finally? It's 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. So send us an email, give us a call. We'll be glad to get you on the air. The Book Festival, by the way, just to get off on that tangent, is a wonderful place for writers or people who love to read, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Everything is free. And I cannot tell you how many authors will be in town this week. It's just an enormous number of authors, just about anything you could even hope to look at. Nonfiction, fiction, poetry, picture books, storytelling, a little bit of everything. You can just wander from place to place, and it's a fabulous book festival.
And just go online to Wisconsin. If you just go to a search engine, put in Wisconsin Book Festival, you're going to get the you're going to get it. And there's, oh my goodness, you're absolutely right. I wouldn't even begin to count the number of authors who will be present. And it starts Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
Several great days of rubbing shoulders with some of the wonderful authors that we have, not only mostly from Wisconsin, I guess, but
Some who originated in Wisconsin and aren't here anymore, but are coming back in for this. Yes.
Well, Becky in Rio has a question for you.
Okay.
So let's go to Becky. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Larry, and hi, Sarah. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I think that you have a previous book set in Wisconsin, but I cannot remember the name of it.
Uh-huh.
That would be Star Lake Saloon and Housekeeping Cottages.
That's right. Okay, because I can picture the cover. I just couldn't say the name of it.
The cover is easy to picture.
It is. It's very provocative in your mind. But I love mysteries, but I especially love reading books set in Wisconsin. So I was very happy to, I think I ran across that book. Wasn't it part of Chapter a Day?
Yes, it was. And you know what? This one will be, too.
Oh, excellent. I hope to have it read before it hits the air.
You're going to have to hurry, because it's going to be broadcast starting November 10th.
Okay. Well, that's great to hear. So I'm so glad you've got another book out, and glad I happened to be able to tune in today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And that book, just as an aside, that book has done very well, still doing very well.
Yes, it's still doing very well. So many people identify with going to the North Woods as a child, or a lot of resort owners love the book because they couldn't understand how I could really capture the spirit of how to run a family resort.
Yeah. Well, how did you capture the spirit of Night Sisters?
I know the spirit.
Yeah, the spirit. Well, sure, you had some trips, some visits and so forth, but...
Well, I did a great deal of research, a tremendous amount of research. I spent several times at Lilydale. I took a week-long class in the personal development of mediumship to learn how to be a medium.
Oh.
And my notes are interpreted in this book as being Nell's notes. So I really do have sort of some knowledge of how to do it. And then, of course, visiting Waniwok and getting into the landscape and the feelings of serenity up there and describing what it's like. It's not too hard.
Well, it's a lot of work, though.
It is. Well, people don't understand the discipline amount that is involved with writing. I think everybody thinks you just sit down and type, but it's not that easy.
It is not. Sarah Rath, our guest, author of many books, including the one we're talking about, titled Night Sisters. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking today with Sarah Rath of Spring Green, Wisconsin, author of the book Night Sisters, published by the University of Wisconsin Press, Terrace Books, an imprimatur of the University of Wisconsin Press. Really pleased to have her with us today. Certainly, if you have some questions about the book or about writing, or maybe even about the book festival, the Wisconsin Book Festival. It's coming up starting tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org, and we'll be happy to get you on the air. Well, Nell Grendon and Grace Waverly are not the only two people in the book.
No,
I kind of like the guy.
Which guy?
The professor who moves in on the second floor.
The music professor.
The music professor.
Oh, yes.
What's his name?
George.
George, yeah.
He has a dog named Henry, right?
That's right. I couldn't remember if it was Henry or George was the guy.
Well, Nell likes them both.
She does.
She sort of ends up sleeping with them. Mostly the dog.
She spends more time with him. He's kind of an interesting guy. Yeah. How did he happen to climb into the picture?
Well, I needed some romance. That's it. I needed Nell to fall in love with someone.
Yeah.
The book starts, there's a basic portion of the book, which is Nell's childhood and Nell's friend Polly and her friend Sharon. And they are integral to the book because Sharon is really a major character in the book, whether she's alive or dead. And I find Sharon to be a fascinating character. She gets Nell into all kinds of scrapes as a child and as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And Polly is, you know, whenever you have groups of three girlfriends together, there's always a big problem because three is not a good number for friends of girlfriends because there's always somebody who's kind of the third person out. So they tempt Nell to do things like steal this little garden gnome from the garden of this woman that's called the Old Crow. And then Sharon taunts her for having committed a sin, and then Polly and Sharon make her go into a confession booth, which turns out to be a closet. And that's one of my favorite scenes in the whole book. I love that scene. Because then she has to say the rosary in the backyard, which is made up of bowling ball rosary. Look, we have to emphasize this is a funny.
How did you come up with that bowling ball
rosary? This is a funny book. This is a humorous book. In fact, Publishers Weekly said it's laugh out loud funny. I don't want people to think that this is a serious book about spiritualism.
No. It's hilarious. How did she come up with this bowling ball rosary business?
I don't know. It was a clipping I found somewhere. My desk is a mess. It's full of all kinds of odds and ends and things. And sometimes I pull something from the right, something from the left, and just knit things together.
Well, that was hilarious. Gerard in Green Bay, it's your turn next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you two doing?
Great.
Just fine.
Hey, I'm all for, entertainment and writing things for, fun. But I'm trying to understand, are you actually claiming that you can actually speak or communicate with the dead?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. You were scaring me there for a minute there. Okay, yeah, because I don't think that's possible. And, I don't believe in mediums that can claim to do that.
Well, that's kind of what the book is about, because my heroine goes into the story not believing that either. And then she sort of believes that that is possible, and then something happens to her. So that's sort of the basis of the whole book.
Yeah.
All right. Do you personally believe it yourself?
Do I? Oh, I knew I would be asked that question this morning. Thank you, Gerard. I have an open mind, let me put it that way.
I was wondering, do you actually believe it yourself?
Yeah.
Well, I think it might be possible, but I don't do it professionally.
Okay. Thanks, Gerard. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And you mentioned Polly just a minute ago, and I thought Polly was kind of an interesting character in the book. The type of art.
Yes.
She does with mirrors.
Holograms.
Holograms.
Yes.
And I thought, I don't know anything about this particular type of art.
Oh, thanks, Larry. I don't really either. I mean,
did
I can't.
You make that up?
I can't. No, I can't explain definitely how it's done, but I know that it's done, and I have a little toy at home that will do it for you. You put something in the middle, and it looks like it's on top of this little section of mirrors, and it looks like you should be able to grab it and move it, but you can't. It's all mirrors. And there is a museum of holography in Chicago. Maybe we should go down there and check it out and have somebody explain it to us.
I thought it was fascinating. I actually wanted to look into it some more because I thought, did she just make this up? Or
No, there's a lot of math involved, which is why I can't really explain it to you.
But So we've got Polly's the third.
Yeah. Polly, yes. She's a Jewish girl who grew up in this small town, which is not unusual because almost every small town in Wisconsin during the 50s and 60s had a dry goods store that was run by a Jewish family. I know we did in my hometown. Mm-hmm. I know Spring Green did. I know a lot of small towns did. And so Polly is the third part of the trio, and Sharon is Catholic. And she has all of these Catholic accoutrements that Nell just absolutely wants so badly, especially the rosary and the medals and the holy cards, because Nell is Methodist. And
Not as much fun.
They are not fun, no. They have no undue adornment. They have very bland churches. They can sing. That's one thing the Methodists do very well is sing.
The Methodists and the Lutherans are pretty good at it.
Good, yes. I like that part of it.
I like that part of it. But there are some kind of funny and scary part. When she, this would make a good movie, I think, too.
I think it'd be an excellent movie. Yes.
The scene, the confession scene would be one great one. The other great scene, interesting scene would be the scene where she winds up with the ring at the funeral parlor.
You know, that was actually a short story, and I kind of built the book around that. It was a short story called Trespass, and it's about Nell wanting to have some kind of religious symbol of her own. And her minister suggests a Bible bee, a spelling bee based on words in the Bible. And Nell just happens to be in a particular place where she's able to obtain the list of words that are going to be in the spelling bee. And it's a tremendous temptation for her. And she makes all kinds of excuses for not looking at this list. And Nell, being the sort of character she is, just cannot resist the temptation to quickly memorize the words that are going to be on this list. And she wins the ring for the girls part of the contest, and then something happens to the boy who wins the boy's ring. Now, I have to tell you, I do have this ring with the Lord's Prayer on it, which I did win in a Sunday school contest, but it was nothing as exciting as the one that Nell was in. It was for who would bring the most old Christmas cards to Sunday school. And I knew my grandma had bags of them, so I brought them all to Sunday school, and I won the girls.
And so that silver ring?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you use personal items in your fiction. You build that whole story was built out of this ring.
Wow, I love this, and it still fits you.
Well, it's on my little finger. Thanks a lot. It's a pinky ring now.
It's a pinky ring now, but it's a pretty ring. Well, when you're crafting, how do you sit down to start to write a book, by the way, a book like this? Is there outline it first?
Yes, I do. I do outline. But there are lots of bits and pieces that go into it. And that's why I do make an outline. It's a real flexible outline. It's very organic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I change the outline many times during the book, but I almost generally know the ending. Mm. Now, I must say this ending, so many people have said they couldn't guess the ending. And in fact, I think the Publisher's Weekly review says the ending
I couldn't guess the ending, no.
Worked really hard on that ending. My editor pushed me and pushed me and pushed me. And you know, she kept saying, more. We want more. We need more. It's very hard for me to write more. I'm good at cutting. Mm. I'm not real good at enhancing, at adding things. So I am really happy with the way this book ended, but it was a lot of revision, a lot of work, and I think it's seamless. I think it works beautifully, but I owe that to Sheila Merrimond, my editor, because she made me work very hard to do that.
Yeah, I would guess that something. How long did you spend on this book?
Oh, I can't tell you because I don't know actually when it started. There are always things floating around in my head. It just depends on when I sit down and start to put the concept on paper. I have several projects in my head now and also on paper that are in progress. So many years, Many years.
Many years.
Probably started with the first time I went to Lilydale in 1998.
Wow.
And then I set it aside and worked on other projects. I worked on The Complete Cow and The Complete Pig and was on this show several times.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was always a folder set aside with this. It underwent many titles. But it just came to fruition. After Star Lake, I happened to mention to Raphael Kadushin at UW Press that I had another Wisconsin book in mind. And he said, how soon can you get it to me? And I thought, oh, darn, I got to get to work. So at that point, it probably took me a year. But I had a lot of pre-writing done.
Yeah, and you'd put a lot of thought into
it. Yes, great deal of research.
I really liked the cover.
Yeah, I did too. It's very mystical. That's a photograph by a Polish photographer, a woman, and Sheila's husband found it online. And everybody at the press just fell in love with that cover. It's really evocative and very, very mysterious.
It doesn't convey, the only thing it doesn't convey really is the humor.
Oh, I think it does. There's a little note in her hand that says,
a novel. You're right.
Now, I have to say I'm responsible for that note because in the original photograph, she's not holding anything. But in the cover of Star Lake, the woman who's lying in the boat with her legs sticking out of the boat has a coat hanger sticking from her toe that says a novel on it. And so I thought, well, this is kind of a trademark thing. We'll have her holding a little piece of paper that says a novel.
Oh, well, Sarah Rath, our guest, is, and give us a call if you have a question or comment as we move along today at 1-800-642-1234. That's a nice, I like that idea. 1-800-642-1234 or send us an email at talk@wpr.org. So now what are you going to talk about at the book festival with Christina?
You know, I wish I knew. I think there's going to be a moderator who will ask us some questions about how we utilize actual Wisconsin locations in our fiction. I was told not to prepare a lot, there'll be questions from the audience, questions from a moderator. Nobody's given me any guidance in this, but...
That can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing.
Agreed. Yes. So I'm just going to wait and find out.
Well, all right. Well, let's take some calls. Bob in Darlington is up now, so let's go to Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
On Halloween Day, my wife and I and our cat Scruffy are moving to Rhinelander.
Oh, good. I like Rhinelander.
Yeah. Why do you like Rhinelander?
Oh, well... because I used to go to the Rhinelander School of the Arts there in the 1960s.
Oh, I did too.
You did?
We went 1 year. My wife is an artist, and I'm not the artist, but my wife is, and that worked out real nice.
Yeah,
and,
it's a beautiful place.
Oh, what was that fellow's name? He died now. Velfred. What was his Velfred's name on? Velfred Selene.
Oh, I don't know him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, he used to stick his brush in his mouth.
Oh, okay.
And I think he died from...
lead poisoning.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, maybe he's a spirit that we could contact and find out a little bit more about.
But he drew a nice little north scene for me in about 18 minutes.
That's nice, and you have some of his DNA in the painting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't make fun of that. Rhinelander is one of my favorite places. We have a family cabin not far from there.
Where do you have it at?
In near north of Mercer. My grandpa built it.
I've been through that little city quite often, but
yeah.
My son has a cabin on, what's the name of that little town? It's about 10 people.
Oh, small place.
There are a lot of them up there.
There are a lot of
right
them.
Out of Rhinelander before you get to Eagle River. It's
okay. You're not thinking of Star Lake?
No.
Okay.
Where is that?
Star Lake is near Saner. It's not too far from Eagle River. What can I talk to you about with regard to Night Sisters, my newest book?
Well, I was just wondering if you had a chapter in there about the North Woods because you mentioned that.
No, that was my previous book. Except that for the fact that Nell's family used to have a cabin up there that her mother sold and she felt bad about it. That was the only thing I said about the North Woods in this book. Sorry.
But Now out in soft cover is that book.
Yes, it is. Yes. Star Lake Saloon and Housekeeping Cottages is all about the North Woods. And I'm sure that if you're moving to Rhinelander, you will really love that book.
Yeah, you'll love that book. And Sarah Rath is the author, so get yourself a copy of that book, Bob. And thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Kathleen in Middleton is up next. So let's go to Kathleen. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I've been very interested in listening to the program, and I would love to read this book. I'm looking forward to it, but I want, and I've never had an experience speaking to a spirit or hearing a spirit speak to me, but I absolutely believe it's possible. I have seen psychics over the years. I've lived all over the world, and I've been to different psychics, and I've had lots of very interesting readings, and I've a few times after my mother died, my mother, or they mentioned something about my mother, and not exactly a spirit voice, but I mean, it just came in through the reading, and so I just want to let you know that there are people out there that really believe in it, and I think if anyone wants to have something rather remarkable, they can watch John Edwards on WEE cable channel and watch his program Sunday or Saturday nights. I think it's from 8 to 9, 9 to 10, mm-hmm. Where he does readings for people, and it's pretty darn hard not to believe.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You talk a little bit about in the book before, and Mary, we'll get to you in just a second here, but you talk a little bit in the book about when people who do readings, typically you talk about, they will talk about positive things.
Yes,
in the,
that's right.
In the readings.
And I also tell you how to do a fake reading, how to do a cold reading. And I also did quite a bit of research into the old ways of mediumship when there were some shifty people around who did some kind of shifty things with mirrors and black robes, and it was fascinating. I love that part of mediumship, the old-fashioned mediumship. I saw a tin trumpet up at Waniwak. I had never actually held one before, and that was so cool. It would go around the room on its own during a seance, and the spirit voices would come out in the trumpet. Now, I did not see that. They do have seances up at Waniwak on Friday nights during their season, which is from the 1st of June to the end of August.
They have a website.
They do have a website, yes. It's www.campwaniwak.com, and that has their season information, and it lists the mediums who are there, and you can go up any day and have a reading with a medium during the summer. So,
and, you know, you don't have to, whether you believe in mediums or not, you don't really have to in order to enjoy this book.
Oh, thank you.
Well, that's for sure.
Because we don't really know for sure whether Nell does or not until we get through several chapters.
Yeah, that's for sure. Mary in Richland Center, I believe. Mary, hi.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, well, Sarah, I just wanted to congratulate you on another book that I'm sure is going to be another wonderful read. I can't wait for it to come on chapter a day.
Thank you.
I heard Star Lake on Chapter a Day and had to go buy the book. It was absolutely fascinating. But I wanted to tell you, I experimented somewhat some many years ago with spiritualism and had some very positive things happen with it. I don't do that anymore, but it was quite phenomenal at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wondered, I'm with Richland County Friends of Animals, and I know that you adopted one of our cats.
Yes, I did, Nellie. That's right, named her for my heroine.
And just wondered if she, the cat was of any help in helping you write the book.
Nell. Nell is our cat, and she's named after Nell Grendon, the heroine of the book. And she is a beautiful Maine Coon cat. She is just, in fact, just this morning, my husband was saying that Nellie just looks regal. She has this big ruff of white fur. She is gorgeous. And, Mary, if you're in Michelin Center, I will be doing a reading at Okooch Books and Libations on Halloween.
Oh.
At 7 o'clock, so you can come down.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yes.
I'd love to.
And I'll see you there.
All right. That's wonderful. So you're, well, let's see, tomorrow night from 7 to 8:30, you're at the Wisconsin Book Festival, and that will be at the Overture Center in Madison.
At 7 o'clock.
Right? At 7 o'clock. And then you just mentioned another reading, and run that by me again.
That's at Richland Center on Halloween, yes.
So you're at Richland Center on Halloween, and they have some other readings coming up?
I think I have Walden Books out at Westtown on the 1st of November. I think Oconomowoc on the 5th of December. I don't have my calendar with me.
Yeah.
It's been very, very crowded. The book has just exploded with with excitement with a lot of people, so that's kind of neat.
That is kind of neat. Now, do you keep a website of your own?
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking. It's www.sarahrath.com. And that lists all my events. Thank you.
And Sarah is without the H.
Yes, without the H, yes. It's S-A-R-A-R-A-T-H. There's been a Sarah in the news lately who spells hers with an H, but no.
not the same Sarah.
Yes, definitely not the same Sarah.
Not the same Sarah.
No.
Oh, well, I tell you what, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I really did enjoy your book a lot.
I'm very
highly
glad
recommend
to hear
it.
That. And it's so much fun to come to your show. Thank you.
And we'll have you back to talk about that paperback edition of Star Lake Saloon and Housekeeping.
I would love it. It's Housekeeping Cottages.
Housekeeping Cottages, excuse me.
Okay.
Thanks, Sarah.
Okay.
Sarah Rath, author of Night Sisters, among other books. She's lots of books, but Night Sisters is her latest, published by University of Wisconsin Press. I'm really pleased to have her with us today. And she'll be back. We'll get her back. I want to talk about Star Lake Saloon and Housekeeping Cottages with her as well. So that'll be down the road. But next, we're going to take a look at the Badger State's Food Heritage and Diversity with Mary Bergen, who's got a new book out called Hungry for Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.